Listen, we are in a series, we're wrapping up a series called A Journey Through Luke, and we end with the resurrection. And for some of you who might be new to church or new to the Bible and you know a little bit about Easter, the resurrection really is the key to why we're sitting here this morning. You might say, hey, John, but what about the Bible? Isn't the Bible the key? Well, in the early church, they didn't have a Bible, okay? They didn't have a Bible, and yet it grew. The church grew. They didn't have any of the epistles that Paul wrote. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. As a matter of fact, the church didn't even have a Bible until a century or so after everything happened. And that wasn't even like the Bible that we even have now. It was just some various letters that were being transcribed and taken around. And so they didn't even have that. So how did the church grow? And why did it grow? And why did it grow during persecution? Well, wouldn't that be the easiest time to just go, let's hang it up, you know? Because they couldn't even say, well, the Bible says we have to meet. There was nothing. How was that possible? And my hope for this morning is that I talk to some people who might be a little skeptical about Christianity or the church or the Bible or all that, and kind of share a little bit of why I believe what I believe. And it has a lot to do with the Bible now. But really, for me to take that jump from, okay, the Son of God came down on earth, had a ministry, okay, I can wrap my head around that, died, got that, and was raised from the dead in 3 days, that sounds like nonsense. That sounds like a lot to handle. That sounds a lot to swallow. Well, I'm hoping that by the end, we're going to look at a gentleman, his name's Peter, and we're going to see his journey, and his journey is one of the reasons why I strongly devote my life to this idea that Jesus came, died for my sins, and rose again on the third day to conquer sin and death. So we're going to start in the book of Luke, and we're going to start kind of just to give you a little bit of what's going on. Peter, this guy who we're going to see kind of his journey, Peter was with Jesus for 3 years. He saw everything. He saw 5,000 people get fed. He saw at another time 4,000 people get fed. He saw someone with leprosy have Jesus touch them, which Jesus never should have touched them, but he did, and be completely healed. Peter saw people who were blind get their sight back. Peter saw people who were paralyzed get their legs back. Peter saw people raised from the dead, a little girl, a widow's son, and Lazarus. He's seen all these different things. He's seen demons cast out. He's seen kids with epilepsy or seizures be restored. He's seen it all. And yet, when it came down to it, when Jesus was captured, Peter denied him. Peter said, there's no way. It's over. It's over. If he can do all those things, but he can't stop himself from getting arrested, right? If he can't outrun the Pharisee police, then there's something wrong here. And so he got scared and he denied Jesus 3 times. And so if you think that the resurrection is nonsense, you are not alone. Even a person who saw all of that was still skeptical about the resurrection, which is the key to our faith. So let's take a look at that. Woo, I'm sorry about that. You guys awake? Okay, here we go. All right, Luke 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Now, okay, I tend to read too much into the Bible. I tend to immerse myself in it. But what had happened was there were two dudes, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and they wrapped Jesus up, and then it was the Sabbath, so you couldn't do anything. So I can just imagine these two women talking to each other going, wait, who wrapped Jesus up? Two dudes? Yeah, no, we'll go back the next day and we'll fix it, right? And so they show up with all these spices they had prepared and went to the tomb, ready to fix what the men had done. Okay, that's not sexist, it's just... It's true. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And that was a man that said that. Yeah, the man's like, yeah, bro, keep preaching. Don't worry about it. We got it. Okay, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, which, in which case they should go, the women should go like, that's right, he's raised from the dead, third day. We've been talking about this throughout the whole ministry, but they don't. While they were wondering about this, what could have happened? Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them in their fright, of course, right? The women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said, why do you look for the living among the dead? Which is a really great question. Which is a really great question of my life before I came to Christ. I was looking for the living. I was looking to manage my life, to get through life without the empowerment of Jesus in my life. And that might be where you are now. This is why you might be here at Easter. You've been trying to live your life. You've been trying to medicate your way out of things. You've been trying to work your way out of things. You've been trying to manage relationships all around you, and your Heavenly Father would ask you the same question. Maybe you're trying to get enough money so that you can retire, or you're trying to get a certain thing, figure it all out, or make a team, or get off a team, or get a mate, or get out of having a mate, like all these different things. He'd ask you the same thing. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Those things don't work. Okay, and so that's what he's asking. He's not here. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified on the third, and on the third day be raised again. Watch. Then they remembered his words. Because otherwise, it just seems like nonsense that this person would die and be raised up. I have probably done 100 funerals. Okay, I did one on Friday. I don't expect that she'll be here today. We stay dead as humans. The death rate is 100%. I mean, technically, 99.999 in Jesus, okay? Right? But it doesn't make sense. When you see someone die, they're dead. But they remembered his words, okay? When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11. So there's only 11 disciples now because Judas had another appointment. And to all the others, it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others with them who were told this to the apostles. These were not just people off the street. These were trusted disciples of Jesus that go to the 11 and tell them. And I can almost guarantee you, they said, remember, they used the same words as the two angels. Remember when he told us that he was going to have to be handed over to sinners and be crucified and die, but on the third day, he'd rise again? To which case the 11 were like, that's right. That's what he said. And the tomb was empty, and they all went around, they bid a big group hug, and they started jumping up and down, he's risen, right? Is that what you'd do after 3 years seeing all these miracles and then being reminded of what Jesus said? No, that's not what they did at all. Watch. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense being raised from the dead. I know he predicted it, but to actually pull it off, that sounds like nonsense. You can't make sense out of nonsense. Like, that's just, that's not right. Peter, he's our subject for the morning. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. And bending over, can you just imagine him? If it were me, here's how it would have been. There would have been a thing. And I've been like, okay, here we go. Just, he bends over and he looks in, right? He saw strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away. And as he went away, you know what he did? With his fists in the air, yelling, I knew it! He is risen! Right? And then somebody from the outway, they'd say, dude, that's awesome! Right? Okay. Waited all week for that one. Okay. Waited all week for that one. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, bending over, he saw the linen strips by themselves, and went away, wondering to himself what had happened. He was just told what had happened. Two angels showed up. The women saw the angels. The women reminded him of what Jesus said. He remembers all these things, but he's thinking to himself, man, I wonder what happened. Listen, if you're skeptical of the resurrection, You're not alone. The Apostle Peter, which the church was built on, had his season of doubt as well. And he's seen a lot more than you. And so be comfortable in that. Be comfortable in that. You're thinking about it. You're reasoning. There's room for that in your walk of faith. It's not just blind faith. There's room for that, to be a little bit of doubt, but to still go to the tomb like Peter did. So he wondered what happened. So he came back, and they're all locked in a room praying. And this is, there's some other Gospels, not just Luke. There's four of them. And in other, this fills out a little bit more, but we're in Luke right now. And so they're praying together, and they're in this locked room because they're scared of the Pharisees and the leaders and the elite who killed Jesus. Why wouldn't they just come in and, Jesus had more power than they did. Why don't they just come in and kill them? So they were scared. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now, again, I've mentioned this before, but I'm a dude. I'm just a dude. If I went to a bunch of my buddies and I was raised from the dead and I was able to go in and scare them, I'd go, "Peace be with you," right? And then they'd go, like, "Oh my gosh," that's what I would do. Jesus probably went, "Peace be with you." He was very gentlemanlike. I wouldn't have done it. I would have scared them because they were startled and frightened. So even though Jesus probably did it calm, why would you be startled and frightened? He's risen from the dead. Like, he's going to show up sometime, right? Thinking they saw a ghost. The 11, the 11 thought they saw a ghost. The women already said he's going to be risen from the dead. It was just so hard. You can't make sense out of nonsense. It just doesn't make any sense. He says, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your mind? I don't know. I saw you die." That could be one starter, right? Now watch what he does. It's so sweet because he asks this question, but he doesn't go after them. It's okay to answer the question, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds?" If that's you this morning, that's okay. Jesus doesn't say, "How dare you have those doubts? How dare you think that way? How dare you question this or that part of the faith?" No, he says, "I got you." But then he goes one step further and he says, "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see." And I could imagine them grabbing his hands, and I mean, I'm sure they've hugged Jesus so many times, and they're just kind of just exploring for themselves, like we're looking at the nail prints in his hands. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, right? As you see, I have. You can see it, right? When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. That's so sweet to me. Again, for those of you who might be new or doubting or whatever, the Lord's going to begin to show you things. They're going to take faith. They're going to have you ask more questions, and that's fine. That's fine. He meets you right where you are, where you are in your faith. You might be brand new to you, and you might be going, "John, I don't want to make a decision to follow Jesus until I have all the facts." You'll never get them all. At some point, they've seen too much, and they've heard too much, and they just have to make a decision. They said this and then showed him his hands and feet. Now listen to this, okay? All right. Empty tomb, two angels, trusted disciples come up, tell him the whole story. Go see the tomb. They see the tomb. Jesus shows up. "Here's my hands. Here's my feet. Go ahead and touch them. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones like this." You know, they're probably like he's like, "Okay, that's enough," right? And while they still did not believe it. Okay, now I'm getting frustrated, right? Because I haven't seen near what they've seen, and I believe it, right? We'll get to that in a second. Okay, but watch why they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it because of joy and amazement. Now it's beginning to turn. Are you kidding me? Could this really be true? Could this really happen? That might be you. You might be sitting to yourself going, "Look, why do I look for the living among the dead? I'm trying to live my life. It's not working out. Could this really be true? Could Jesus truly wash away all my sin and all my mistakes and all the ways that I've messed up? Could that be it? I don't believe it. But see, it's a different disbelief. It's a, I don't believe it because I don't want to believe it all and it not be true. It's a different one. He says, do you have anything to eat? Okay, now that's a man after my own heart, okay? He's trying to show him something. They gave him a piece of broiled fish and he took it and ate it in their presence, right? A ghost can't see that. You'd see the food go down, right? They're like a little transparent. They don't see anything. Again, I tend to read a little bit too much into the Bible. Listen to what he says. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Jesus is saying, I have made the transition from the Old Testament. Law, prophets, Psalms. Go back and read them and watch what happens. So this is what he says. And he opened their mind to the so they could understand the scriptures. This is another step of faith for you. Okay? There's this step of faith like, man, I want it to be true, but it couldn't really be true. And then you take that step of faith to go, Lord, I'm ready to give it up. I don't want to look for the living among the dead. I want to look to where you are. You're not there. You're not in that relationship. You're not in that issue that I'm dealing with. You're not in those things. I want to go to where you are. And you make that, like, I can't believe it, but I'm going to take this step. And then something happens as you begin to walk in your faith. Your minds get opened up to the scriptures because now you have the Holy Spirit that interprets all those things for you. You're like, well, I read the Bible, I don't understand. Well, that's because you're in the process of developing a relationship with your Heavenly Father. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead. I'm surprised he didn't say, like I told you for the fourth time, right? The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. And then he makes this incredible statement. This to me, right here, this next statement, is what birthed the church. Not they read 1st and 2nd Chronicles, or that they read Corinthians, or that they read Revelation and it scared them because they don't want to go to hell. None of that. You are witnesses of these things. To which they had to think back to themselves and go on, we've seen everything. And they start putting it all together for them. It all comes together. Now, so they leave there, right? And Jesus goes up to heaven and is like, hey, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, which is what I was talking about when we accept Christ. Really? It's like I've been doing this for 20 years. Okay. Right? So he goes up to heaven. And so all of a sudden, they're in there praying. He says, stay and pray in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is going to come. The Holy Spirit comes, and it's wacky, right? There's the tongues of fire, and they're speaking in other tongues and all these different things. And the people there are like, oh, they're drunk, right? And Peter gets up. He's like, bro, it's 9 a.m, okay? That's not what's going on here, okay? And the fact is that the people heard them speaking in tongues in their native language. It was almost like the gift wasn't tongues. It was almost like the gift was interpretation. Like they were speaking in tongues and everyone heard them in their own language, kind of. Now, that might get a little too heady, but don't worry about it because what we're tracking is Peter's development. Peter went from denial to disbelief to listen to Peter talk to thousands of people now. What happened? Did he read a scripture verse? Did they all get together and go, hey, let's come up with a cult that we could really make some money? No, they all would have died doing that. That's not a smart idea. What happened? They were witnesses. They saw it. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He's talking to people. This wasn't the first time they heard about Jesus. They would either have seen a miracle or they would go, man, my uncle was at this rally to listen to Jesus talk and they ran out of food and Jesus just, he told, they just came up with all this food. I have no idea about it. I don't know how that is even possible. If they had food stored or whatever, I don't even know. It just goes around. Hey, remember Tom? You know, blind Tom? Yeah, blind Tom. Yeah, remember him? He can see now. What? Yeah, there was like 50 of us. We were watching and Jesus went up and spit down on the ground and like did some wacky concoction and put it on his eye. Now Tom can see, right? They what Peter's saying is, you guys know this. You know about the miracles. You've seen it. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, ooh, this is a brutal sermon. You know, someday I'm going to preach a sermon like this and blame all you guys for something. With the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. Okay, ready? This is a new Peter now. But God raised him from the dead. Exactly. God raised him from the dead. It actually happened, Peter's saying. Freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep a hold of him. Now imagine, you're Peter, you've seen all these miracles, your mind is now open to the scriptures, and you go back through the law and the prophets and the Psalms, and you're like, man, it's all put together, and you realize there's nothing anyone can do to me right now. He has the power over sin and death. And so he's so bold, listen to this, because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on him. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised Jesus to life, and we are witnesses of it. This is his new identity. I've seen it. I've seen too much. I've heard too much. God raised him from the dead. I'm willing to die on it. I'm willing to die for that. He goes on, exalted at the right hand of God, he was received from the Father. The promised Holy Spirit has been poured out. What you now see and hear. You see what's going on right now with all the tongues and interpretation and all that kind of stuff? This is what happens because of the resurrection, not because Peter was in a Bible study. It was the power of the resurrection. He saw it. He witnessed it. So it goes on. So here's Peter, and you're like, well, okay, that's 3,000 people came to Christ that day, by the way. 3,000 souls were added to their number that day. Do you know why? Because I can now take off my glasses without hitting my microphone after all these years. Do you know why? Because they knew about Jesus. And they're like, man, his disciples, and he ended up, we know this, he ended up showing up to 500 people. So there were people in there going, yeah, I saw him too. My uncle saw him. My great-grandfather saw him, like whatever. So they go from there to the temple. Okay, now it's getting a little dicey because Peter is in the temple, and that's where everybody was there who tried to kill Jesus, right? So the elites, the Sanhedrin, the rulers, all these things. So Peter heals this man at the temple. And so what happens is, as you walk into the temple, there are people begging. That's the only way they can make money. And so, you know, you're walking into the temple. You're feeling good about yourself. Maybe you go there knowing, hey, every week I give you know, Bob something, you know. And you just kind of, that's just the way it goes. Well, that man asked Peter, hey, do you have any money? And Peter's like, man, silver and gold. I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. But let me tell you what I have, bro. I'm a dude walking in the power of the resurrected Christ, and for some reason, early on in the church, I can just go stand up and walk. And the guy stands up, he starts walking, jumping around, and praising God. So the people freak out, like you would, right? If you knew someone all this time, and all of a sudden they get healed, you'd freak out. Peter says, when he saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? And watch what he does. He takes the Old Testament now, the old scriptures that were fulfilled through Christ. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. And then again, he goes a little hardcore. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. Peter, how can you be so bold? Now you're in the temple. Now you're with the people who were trying to kill Jesus and ultimately killed him. What's his next words? We are witnesses of this. I've seen too much. I've heard too much. It's over for me. I'm a follower of Jesus. It's because of the resurrection. And that's how the early church began to grow. Not because they had workbooks that you fill out. They didn't have any workbooks. They just had people who had seen the resurrected Jesus, and there were miracles, and there were gatherings just like this one. We're witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, now Peter's beginning to start to talk to you and I. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is in Jesus' name. And the, he just introduced a new word, faith. And the faith that comes through him. John, you mean to tell me that Peter, who's seen everything, Peter has nothing but facts. That's what Peter has. Peter has facts. And Peter's saying, no. It takes faith. There's always a gap. There's always a gap that comes through faith in him that has completely healed him, as you all can see right here. So you say, okay, John, okay, I get it. Peter's healing people now, so now he's getting really bold. But what happens when he, like, gets in front of, it's just him and the rulers? What happens then? I mean, obviously, if this is fake, he's going to give that story up, right? Well, here's Peter and John before the rulers. Now we're in Acts chapter 4. So we go from Acts chapter 2. He says, we're witnesses. He talks to all the people with the tongues of fire. We go Acts chapter 3. He heals the man in the temple. Now we're at Acts chapter 4. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching to the people, proclaiming in Jesus, what? The resurrection. That's what they were proclaiming. The resurrection. So they tell him, hey, bro, can you just do me a favor? Because they were scared of the people. Because now they've seen, now there's 3,000 people added to their number, and it's, people are getting healed, right? So they're just like, look, bro, just stop talking about Jesus. You can do whatever you want. Stop talking about Jesus. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. And then he gets kind of a little sarcastic. I love this. He's so bold, right? If we're being called into account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and now being asked how he was healed, like, is that, wow, okay, you guys are really, you know, crossing your T's and dotting your I's. Then, and all the people know, oh, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This resurrection power, this is the reason we celebrate today, is that this same boldness, this same power of the resurrection is available to us. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and then whom you crucified. It's like, Peter, stop beating him over the head. But whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Listen, salvation is found in no one else. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not there. Why am I living my life apart from any area of my life apart from Jesus? He's not there. There's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Why? Because he conquered sin and death. Because he was resurrected. God raised him from the dead. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. Now listen to this. See, like I said, Peter and John didn't learn a bunch of facts, and that's why they're so bold. They saw the resurrected Jesus. That's why they're so bold. They were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, then took note that these men had been with Jesus. The resurrected Jesus, you think, or the Jesus before? So they say, don't preach anymore. But Peter said to them, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. Ready? Watch this. As for us, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. The early church was birthed out of seeing and hearing and touching and understanding and eating and being with the resurrected Jesus that God raised from the dead. We don't have time to get into it, but Acts chapter 5, the next time they're in front of the Sanhedrin, and they actually get whipped for this, okay? He starts talking, the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead. This is the only thing he's talking about. God raised him from the dead. Only in Jesus is the power of salvation. Whom you killed, okay, by hanging him on a cross, had to get that shot in, God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of this for the umpteenth time. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Okay, you say, all right, John. Well, that was the early church, whatever. Well, Peter became a church father. And Peter wrote two books, which we very creatively call 1 Peter and 2 Peter, okay? These two books. So what does Peter write as an older person? Now that it's kind of been around, it's probably like some other scriptures, or maybe Paul wrote some stuff and he's going to start quoting Paul and kind of flesh it out. Here's what he says in 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Well, how is that new birth in a living hope happen? How does that actually take place? Why? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's why we celebrate Easter. It's why the church was born. It's why there's billions of people today celebrating the same thing we are. That early church started because Jesus Christ really was raised from the dead, and it grew even under persecution, because they can't stop speaking about what they've seen and what they've heard. Through Christ who's raised from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Peter didn't learn about heaven from the Old Testament. It's barely mentioned. Peter heard about heaven because Jesus kept saying, my Father in heaven, my heavenly Father, my Father in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? And so now Peter's adopted this language. In this, you greatly rejoice. Now watch the people he's talking to. He's starting to talk to some people like you and I who never saw Jesus and didn't see him raised from the dead. You greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Peter's like, your life's not going to get perfect. These things have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, which is greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. Now watch what he says to you and I. Though you've not seen him, and I've not seen him, I love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. This is why we say, why do you look for the living among the dead? As I enter into a relationship with Jesus and I begin to hand my life over to him and begin to take him at his word and say, hey, you got to take up your cross daily and follow me. You got to put that stuff down. You got to focus on me, be empowered by the Holy Spirit, those different things. We have what? Inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith. Listen to this. The salvation of your souls. Salvation of your souls. As the worship band comes back up, I have one more verse to read out of Romans, but we'll get to it in a second. You know, I don't know where everybody is, and you know, for those of you online, or maybe someone has shared this message with you at a later time after Easter. But all of us, whether we're a follower of Jesus or not, gets to a place in our lives where we're like, man, is this what it's all about? Like, I feel like I'm trying to find the living among the dead. Like, well, this isn't working out for me. These relationships aren't working out for me. These friendships aren't working out for me. All these different things. And you're like at a place right now where you're like, man, it sounds like nonsense, but could it really be true? Just by praying a prayer and beginning these beginning steps with Jesus, can he really wash away all my sin? Could I really have a joy inexpressible? Listen, I can only speak for myself. Yes, you can. And you don't have to set your reasoning by the door. You don't have to set your brain by the door. You can still struggle through all those things. But if there's something burning in you going, man, I don't know, that might be, it might be him. It might be him. I know I'm a witness of this. I can't stop speaking about what I've seen and heard. I've seen relationships healed that you'd never think could be healed. I've seen addictions broken that you would never think could be broken. I've seen people's lives restored. I've seen people go from bitter, bitter, bitter to joyful, joyful, joyful. I've seen people go from pain of a just dysfunctional family of origin, just some of the stories you wouldn't believe, to forgiveness. I've seen love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all the things that the fruit of the Spirit of God births in you when we make these decisions. So what I want to do before I read my last verse, because it's going to set us up for the next few weeks. I'm going to go through a series of God's resurrection power in our lives. But I want us just to bow our heads, to calm our hearts. And I don't know where you're at. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. But there's something just in hearing the journey of Peter, you're like, man, I want that to be my journey. I'm in the unbelief stage now. I want that to happen. Maybe you realize you've been looking for the living among the dead, and you're like, I gotta go a different course. And so maybe for the first time, this might be the first time you've ever given your life to Jesus. Maybe for some of you, you did. Somebody invited you back to Easter, and you're like, man, I do not want to set foot in another church, but okay, I'll try. But it's not the church. It's the resurrected Jesus that's speaking to your heart right now. And maybe you want to make a decision today to start again, to try again. What I'd ask, because I do believe there needs to be a commitment made just so that you have a day to mark down in your heart, this day I gave my life over to Jesus. As we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want you to look up at me and raise your hand if you're ready to make that decision today. I see you. Great. Wow, great. Thank you for your boldness. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? I see you. Yeah, I see you. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, I see you. Good. Anybody else? We don't want to miss anybody. Yes, I see you in the back. Thank you, thank you. I see you up front here. Amen, Jesus. Amen. Good. Don't want to miss anybody else. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. And if you've raised your hand, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. If you want to mark on your connection card, or if you have the app, and just when you check in, you just say, on the card, we have a little thing, I gave my life to Christ today. Just check that so I can follow up with you. If you don't want to do that, you can send me an email. It's super easy, john@livingspring.com. I want to make sure we just don't lose you. You know what I mean? Sometimes you make this decision and then life comes on and it's tough. Lead us all in a prayer. I've prayed this prayer many, many times in my life. Many, many times. Pray it to yourself, or you can pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for showing me the way. Thank you for conquering my sin. I ask for forgiveness for my past. You know all the things I've done. I lay them at your feet. Thank you for conquering sin and death. Give my life to you today. In your precious name, amen. End with a song, and I want to read one last verse that we're going to set up our next series coming up in the next 6 weeks. We're going to go over this idea of resurrection power. The Bible says the same power of the resurrection that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us as we go through. And for some of you who made that step to follow Jesus, this is the power that you want to tap into. In Romans 8:11, it says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. We're going to be going over that, what that looks like in the next few weeks, and I wanted to invite you into that. But now we're just going to take a time of reflection, and Tanner's going to lead us in a song. And you can just sit at your seats and listen and pray. Sometimes people come up and they pray at the altar here. And maybe for those of you who maybe made that commitment for the first time or what have you, maybe you just want to come up and kneel. I kneel here every week after I preach. I walk right around here and I kneel down to just reset my life. And I just go, Lord, tomorrow's Monday. I'm ready to go again. And so maybe that's what you want to do. But if not, if you want to just stay in your seat, that's fine as well. We'll have some people at the cross here praying. If you have something that you really would like someone to pray over you, there'll be some people here praying, and we can do that. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you did it. You predicted it, and then you did it. Come on. And then you birthed your church through that one act. We're here today because of you. We thank you.
Tell you a miracle. So earlier this morning, this was happening all the time. And so I ordered a new one today, but it doesn't come until about 2 days from now. And so I was like, Lord, please don't let it pop when I'm preaching. There you go. I should have said, and during the blessing, but I didn't. I wasn't specific. Be specific in your prayers. Why don't you go ahead and stand for the blessing? Remember, if you have children, we pick them up in the fellowship hall, so you can just go right out that door. And listen, we'd love to have you back over the next 6 weeks as we talk about resurrection power in the different areas of your life. So please, if this is your first time, please know you're welcome anytime. We love having you here. Now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would go in the power of his resurrection, that you would sense his presence all week long, and that you would hear his voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.